Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We have the great honor of speaking with Jennifer Bernardi today, a.k.a. everyone, Tiggy Upland. And I, first of all, I want to say how much I enjoy Ask Tiggy. Welcome.
Hello. Welcome. I'm so excited to do this today. And Lynette, this is so exciting for me because I get to actually speak to you instead of just seeing a picture of you or talking to you on Facebook. So this is great. And hello, John. Good to meet you.
So let's hear about you, Jennifer. Can you share a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I, I was just thinking the other day that I have been out as bisexual for more than half my life. Maybe just about half my life, 19 years. I was until about a year ago, I was on the board of the Bisexual Resource Center here in Boston. And I can tell you how Tiggy came to be, if you'd like.
You did mention you were on the board of the Bisexual Resource Center for quite a while.
That's right, 5 years.
Oh, wow, that's fascinating. That's a great organization, everybody. Make sure you check that out if you have not yet.
Yeah, the Bisexual Resource Center is fantastic, and they do just what they say. They provide resources to the bi community, but also to the community at large about the bi community. And I just felt like being on the board is a great way to give back.
It is, and we use it all the time. I mean, it is a definite resource for us.
In the olden days, it was the book that everybody in the bisexual community got so that we would know what was going on.
Oh, right. Yes. Wow. We've really had to roll with the punches in the last, probably 10 years with social media and so forth, but we're keeping up.
It's great. It's a whole different world now. We were talking about how we used to communicate at a history event a few nights ago and talking about phone trees and stuffing mailings and that kind of stuff. And in the bisexual community, we always made sure that we didn't put a return address with anything that said bi or bisexual in it because so many people were in the closet that they didn't want to have a return address saying bisexual on it.
It's funny, yeah. John. It hasn't changed that much. I mean, BRC, I don't think they do phone trees that much anymore, but I know that the BRC still does a lot of mailing get-togethers. I mean, yeah, we've got meetup.com, but we still, there's a lot of stuff where we're still doing face-to-face get-togethers. And I was just thinking the other day, I have all these bilicious postcards, and I thought, I can get this mailing list to get it out to even more people. And then I thought, no, I can't send a bi postcard because there's still, the community still wants privacy. So you'd be surprised how much stuff hasn't changed, actually.
Yeah, well, it can work the other way, too. One of our local people got 5 copies of the Bi Men's book in the mail, and the packaging broke a little bit. And his postman not only said he read some of it, but he got a date out of it.
Oh, my gosh.
That's kind of cool. I recently received a package from another group, and it says right on it, bisexual, really, blazing in the return. I'm going oh, it's a good thing I'm out, because if I'm not, then I am now.
I'm surprised. I know, when I get my Boston Bisexual Network newsletter, it's always in an unmarked package,
Yeah.
This envelope, yeah. That's how I know it. I'm like, okay, this has nothing else on it. It's got to be some bisexual thing.
I think when I get my Midwest Bi-Activist, it's one of those folded things, and it doesn't say anything about it,
right.
With a little, a seal on it, and it doesn't say anything on the outside about what it is, so, yeah.
Okay, let's move on and talk about those letters you get in the postal box, letters to Tiggy asking for bisexual advice, and talk about how that all started.
So I, almost my whole life, maybe almost since I began to read, my favorite thing to read in the paper were advice columns. And I'll tell you, I follow everyone. I even follow advice columns where I don't like the columnist. I think I just hate read it. I'll read it and think, oh, no, I would answer it like this. But so I know every column out there, and I read them all. So when I was on the board of the BRC, I asked the president, now this was 2011, beginning of 2011, I said, or maybe it was the end of 2010, I said, hey, listen, I'd like to do an advice column. I don't have any sort of psych degree or anything like that. I'm not any sort of therapist, I said, but I know I can be safe and I can try to be funny. And I've read so many advice columns my whole life. I got to be kind of good at this. And she was like, yeah, do whatever you want. I mean, this is the great thing about volunteering as a board member for a small nonprofit. You have a lot of leeway to give back to the community in whichever way you want. So Ellen Rookstrom, who was the president then and is now, said, yeah, sure, do what you want. And I said, we had been thinking about ways to get more people to notice the Bisexual Resource Center website. And I said, well, I'm hoping that this will draw people to the site as a, you know, as just new, constantly changing information. You know, people can count on it coming up every biweekly, naturally, every couple of weeks. And that will draw them to the site. And while they're there reading the advice column, they can read the other stuff on the BRC site. That's how it started. And I felt like I needed a name, a pseudonym. So I used my stripper name. Now, I'm not a stripper. I never have been. But you may have heard, the two of you, that your stripper name is the first pet you ever had and the street you grew up on. Now, if it's not too intrusive, I'd like to ask your stripper names.
Let's see. The street I grew up on. I'm trying to think of the street I grew up on. Yours.
Mine would be Honey 648.
I love it. Some stripper names are better as drag names.
The 648 Honey 648 sounds dirty in some.
Oh, it does.
Yes.
That does sound like a good drag name.
It sounds like Rick James code for a drug or something. Like, that sounds fantastic. So, Lynette, what's yours?
Mine is really not that interesting. Mine would be Canine Claude.
That's fantastic. I love that.
I guess I should Canine. That was my doggie.
Canine.
The other one was Spudnik. So, yeah.
Right. But what is it? Spudnik? What's your street
Spudnik
name?
Spudnik.
Claude.
Mm-hmm.
So mine is Antigone. I had a hamster named Antigone. I was peer pressured by my cousin to name it that. And Upland. I grew up on Upland Road. But we called the hamster Tiggy sometimes, so I figured I'd be asked Tiggy. But that's all it was. It wasn't a character. There wasn't any sort of backstory or a look. It was a pseudonym. That was it. It wasn't anything. Mm-hmm. So I started doing the advice column. Now, I can talk to you a little bit more about the advice column, or would you rather hear how Tiggy Upland became an alter ego for Bilicious?
Well, I think both things sound pretty interesting, but let's talk about the advice column
first. Okay, well, John, I actually don't get written letters. I don't get any written letters. They are all emailed. In the first maybe month or two when I was doing Ask Tiggy, it's really hard to get people to write in. But then someone else on the board put in one of those fields where you can just write in your question. And ever since then, they've just come flooding in. I have more than I know what to do with. I try to choose questions that we haven't answered before. And I try to choose questions that sort of show the breadth and depth of our community so that everybody can read the column and feel like I'm talking to them. So if I answered a question last week from, let's say, a middle-aged bi man, maybe this week I'm answering a question from a 20-year-old trans female college student, you know, or I also try to have a variety of types of questions that people ask. And so far it's just been this amazing experience. And I've been kind of adding on to it as I go along. So I always try to provide resources. So I do a lot of links to different people in different communities and different things on the BRC site and other websites. But since maybe a year ago, I started to include at the end of every column a little video on something that has to do with the column itself, whether it's on a news clip or a music video, just for fun. So it's been amazing for me. I mean, I can only hope that I've at least helped people, because I really take the questions seriously and they're important to me. Like, I joke around a lot. People think I'm pretty ridiculous, but I do take the questions really seriously.
And you do, and we love it. I mean, you give some of the best answers, and I love those little videos at the end too. They're great. You know, the last one I think I read was the poly question. And that was, you handled it very well. I mean, very well.
Some of these questions will just break your heart. Now, I'll tell you, I'm personally monogamous when I date, but But this guy wrote in and just said he was having a tough time because he's in a relationship with a monogamous woman. They've been together for 3 years. But he's, I think it sounded like he was discovering that he's poly and that he needs that. But his whole attitude toward it was, it was almost as if he just naturally assumed that being poly was bad, that he's the villain in this relationship because he's breaking it up because he happens to be poly. And I just wanted to get, you know, just respond to him like, hey, this doesn't make you a bad person. There's nothing bad about being poly. And a lot of times when people write in, they don't know it, but they just need a perspective shift. You know, sometimes I can't tell them exactly what to do, but really all they need is for me to say, you know what, you're looking at this kind of from a weird angle and try it from over here.
Exactly. I was really appreciative that you did that for him because he really did feel from the tone that I got that he was kind of ashamed of the way he felt. And it was that everything, he was the villain. And I'm glad you did that. That was really awesome.
Yeah. And I think it brings up an issue that we've been kind of going around with again. It's you know, like, it's one of those bisexual issues that like turns around every 8 or 9 years, and it the poly mono lit in the community, you know, that, and the idea that because we have polyamorous people that identify as bisexuals, that makes us look bad, and it just is all about the stereotypes, right? And
we actually did
an interview with a polyamorous person that's a leader in our community just a while back so that we could, you know, show a different perspective.
Yeah,
you know, I was reading Sherry Eisner's incredible book, By Notes for a Bisexual Revolution, and I love that she says in there, she said, you know, don't feel that you have to fight these stereotypes. Go ahead and embrace them. You know, people want to assume that all bi people are poly. I mean, you know, feel free to educate them, but don't, you know, poly people who are bi shouldn't have to feel like they're like, well, you know, not all bi people are poly. They shouldn't have to feel defensive like that. Or, you know, people think supposedly, you know, it's a stereotype that bisexual people are really slutty. You can say to folks that there's a difference between how much sex you have and who you're interested in, but don't feel like you have to say, well, you know, I have a lot of partners, but most bisexual people don't feel like you have. Why defend that? You don't have to. You know, it kind of makes me a little sad when I have a couple of poly friends who are bi. I have many, many poly friends who are bi, but I have two in particular who do make a point to say, well, not all bi people are poly, and I always want to say to them, like, it's okay. Go ahead, you know, let people think what they want. You know, don't feel that you have to defend anything because it's not bad.
Yeah, that's what I call that, the white picket fencing thing, that we can fall into that trap. Is like, we don't have to apologize for anything. We don't have to defend that, you know. And the only, what I tell people is that, you know, I may be slutty, but it has nothing to do with my sexual orientation. That's just who I am.
There you
know?
Go. Exactly. There's an entry on my, you might be, Tiggy Uplands, you might be a bisexual Tumblr and Twitter that says, if you're poly but always feel the nagging need to say, oh, we're not all like that, then you might be a poly bisexual person.
Yeah. It's true. It's true.
Yes. So that's another thing that came up. I actually, Tiggy Upland did her You Might Be a Bisexual Tumblr and Twitter for a year and just recently closed out the project. And that was something that was great fun and great fun to sort of not only advertise the Tiggy Uplin advice column, but also to celebrate bisexual culture by saying, you know, if you like this, if you've heard this, if you feel this, you might be a bisexual, you know, like just to say we've got a history and we've got music and dance that we like and we have these unique experiences. So that was another fun thing to come out of the Tiggy empire that I'm building.
It's fantastic. It's a real community builder. It's a way we can go, like, I relate to that, and all of us can do that. And it really, I love it. I love it.
It is, and, you know, because there are other advice columnists that give advice to bisexuals. One who's been around an awful long time, who's a gay man in the West Coast. and then just recently... Dear Prudence in Slate magazine, who I understand is from one of, you know, the families of advice columnists.
Yeah.
Giving bad advice.
Yes. Yes. Prudence, you know, as you know, as I've said, I read all the advice columnists. Dan Savage, who you alluded to, I've probably been reading him since I lived in San Francisco. I moved there in 98 and was there for several years. I generally am not a fan of his advice anyway. And I think we all know that he's had major problems with the bisexual community, although he's certainly made strides in the past handful of years.
It's a lot better. Yeah,
it is a lot. It's a lot better than what it used to be. He, as I've said, he used to say that we should basically have a bisexual leper colony to ourselves, but now he's changed a bit. Dear Prudence is somebody who, she's very hit or miss. Sometimes she's on point, but then other times, and again, not just with bisexual questions, other times it's like she'll say things that are incredibly insensitive or illogical. So she's a bit bizarre. I do know the column that you're talking about, John, where she, you know, a married bisexual woman, I think, said, should I come out? And she said, no, no one needs to know, you know, what your sexual desires are or whatever she said. And so I, rather Tiggy, put up on her, you might be a bisexual Tumblr. She said, if you think Dear Prudence needs a talking to by Tiggy, you might be a bisexual. I linked to
Prudence's.
She got one. She did, didn't she? I linked to Prudence's question and answer that we all felt like she really flubbed. And then I linked to one that Tiggy had done probably a year prior. Somebody had asked essentially the same question. And of course, Tiggy was like, sure, here's how you do it. It does kind of drive me crazy when I see certain advice columnists get so many questions from bisexuals, and they're not. I'm like, write to Tiggy. I'll tell you firsthand.
I think one of the things is there are a lot of bisexuals out there that don't know they haven't asked Tiggy to go ask. So they're kind of out there floundering, asking anybody anything. And, hey, guys, we got plenty of people that can answer your questions right here. Come on in.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
I mean, I always thought that, like, Dan Savage is one who will go to experts in fields that he don't know, except when it comes to bisexuals. So, you know, maybe he should send some of those questions your way to answer.
I'd love that. Yeah, I think you'd be surprised. I've got the usual Google Analytics kind of thing on the Ask Tiggy site, and one of the most fun things for me to see is where the questions, like geographically, where the questions are coming from. They come from literally all over the world. I mean, of course, most of them are from the U.S. Then the next bigger handful is from the U.K., and then typically third place goes to Canada. But then there are always a scattering of like a dozen other countries just all over the world. And I have to tell you, I think most people find Tiggy just by Googling. It's not the people, I think, my guess is the people who read the column are part of the bi community and, you know, part of the scene, and maybe they know me. But the people who write in find me just by Googling. They stumble upon me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's funny because we kind of have that same thing going on. We get a lot of Facebook hit, but yeah. All right, this is great. I want to hear about the Bilicious show. I hear it's back. What's happening?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first, I love the story, so can I tell you how Tiggy – because remember, when we last checked with Tiggy, she had done – she was doing this advice column, but it was just a name. It wasn't anything. It wasn't a person.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So this is how this happened. Susanna Layton is the producer of Bilicious, which, if anybody doesn't know, is a variety show that she puts on every year at where the performers aren't necessarily bisexual. Of course, most of them are, but the content is bisexual. And so sometimes we have singers, sometimes we have storytellers, sometimes poets, sometimes dancers, all sorts of different people just putting forth their interpretation in whatever medium of bisexuality and their own personal experiences and the culture of the community. It's amazing. It's absolutely incredible. There's nothing else like it. So Tiggy Upland is the MC. Susanna created Bilicious when she lived in San Francisco. and she put it on there. It was part of the National Queer Arts Festival for 3 years. It was the only entry that was purely bisexual. I mean, it was a terrific thing. When she moved to Boston, a lot of people don't know this, when she moved to Boston the year she moved here, she was having Bilicious in San Francisco and in Boston. I mean, the woman has a job. Like, she's got a whole life she has to lead. I don't know how she does it. So, but ever since then, she's been just doing it in Boston because she lives here. And this will be, I think, the fifth year for Bilicious. Yes, I think the fifth year for Bilicious Boston. So she came here, and in the earlier years in Boston, she was putting it on with the help of the BRC, of course. And so two people from the BRC and Susanna were auditioning people, and they auditioned somebody who was not bisexual, but they wanted to do a sort of drag queen advice columnist act. And it didn't work out, but Ellen, the president of the BRC, and Steph Mazurlis, who was on the board of the BRC as well, and Susanna thought, well, Jen is doing that advice column. Maybe actually she could come up with some sort of act where she could introduce Bilicious. So Susanna asked me if I'll do this. And I think originally the thought was that I would take this one column that I wrote, which was just a list of snarky things you can say to people who don't believe in bisexuality, and just read that column. Now, she asked me to do this as Tiggy Upland, and I explained to her, Tiggy Upland isn't anything. It's me with a different name. This isn't a thing. Like, I don't know what you want from me. Like, and I was like, you know, if you want me to just read this thing off, I'm not going to go out there and bomb. Like, I wanted to really do it up. She worked with me to try to figure out who Tiggy Upland was. One of the things she did was she gave me this list of 100 questions that, as an actor, you could ask about your character. So I developed this whole backstory for Tiggy. And the night I went on as the MC, I had bought a couple of wigs, so I put the pink one on. And I didn't know. I thought maybe I'd wear a different one if I ever did it again, or who knows. All leading up to the Bilicious show that year, which I think was 2011. Susanna she's an excellent producer. She comes from a long line, a family full of performers. Her grandparents were in vaudeville, and her parents are both musicians in orchestras. So she has this way of handling artists. She's really quite something. She kept telling me, like, you should probably, you know, memorize your lines a little bit more and practice. And I'm like, I don't need to practice. Like, this is, I'm like, basically I'm reading parts of a column that I wrote, so I know what I'm doing. I get up there. Now, I had not been on stage since college, which was years ago. So I'm up there, and I'm behind the curtain waiting for the curtain to open, and I think, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done. Why didn't I practice more? I'm like, this is going to be the biggest bomb in history. I'm going to cry at the end of this. I can't even believe this. But I got lucky, and here's why. Bilicious is this unique show. In our community, no one talks to us. No one markets to us. Even the trans community is having a moment where they're being treated like the cause du jour in the queer community. But bisexuals, no one cares. No one talks to us. So when the curtain opened on this show, this variety show with bisexual content, which no one had ever seen before, it opened to an audience that was so excited to finally be spoken to that they were practically applauding me before I opened my mouth. I can't tell you how lucky I felt. And I did all right. I think I missed a couple of lines, but no one knew. And I was relieved. And then, of course, I said to Susanna after, I'm like, you were right. I should have practiced more. But it was such an amazing experience to do this for my community. And ever since then, I should say that night, Susanna always puts at the end of every Bilicious show, she has the performers come back out, and we do a question and answer with the audience, which, again, it makes it just a unique show. You don't see that because most shows aren't talking to a community that never gets acknowledged. So Tiki's out there, you know, helping the performers field questions. And one of the performers, slam poet Eric Hagen, looked at Tiki's hair and said, "I think I'm hair sexual. This pink hair is really turning me on." And at the time I thought, okay, well, that's that. I'm going to have to wear this wig for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
So it was a great show. And Suzanne's been good enough to let Tiki Uplin MC it every year. And every year I try to make it more educational. There's like a theme every year. You know, the first year for Tiki, it was, you know, this is what you can say when people say bisexuality doesn't exist. And the next year it was, you know, she talks about the letters she gets. And those are real letters that I get that I talk about in the show. And she, you know, it was about everyone working together and trying to understand each other. And this year it's about bisexuals and monosexuals coming together in harmony.
Ah, awesome.
Well, that does happen in people's beds every night.
Exactly. Don't fight it.
Yeah, I have my iPad now, or is it iPod? Three more questions from the snarky answers.
Yes, yeah, that video. Somebody posted that video, and actually, Tiki Uplin responded to it because somebody posted it on Tumblr and it went around on Tumblr, and Tiki said she was so happy. It's hard for me to watch that. Because that was my first performance, and I feel like I hope to God I've gotten better. I just feel like it looks so stiff, but, you know, it is what it is.
No, it's great. I mean, I love it. And yeah, I have to admit, great. I am one of those people that posted it. I also posted it on the bi-week, the bisexual week. That was me. I did that.
You are too funny.
I love it.
I'm
including the link on this, in our links, too. So, hey, there you go.
Yeah, send it out there. I will say I really feel like I've gotten better. So maybe if you think I'm a little stiff, come see the show, and I think you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Well, hopefully someday I'll get to go see the show and actually tape a new one for us all. So that'd be great.
Yeah, it's terrific. And it's given me, it's sort of snowballed into this thing where, you know, I get to do the column. I did the Tumblr and Twitter, "You Might Be a Bisexual," for a year. I spoke at the Boston Dyke March in 2012, I think, as Tiki Uplin, of course. You know, Tiki Uplin made an appearance at the BRC's buy book sale a couple of years ago. It's given me a lot of opportunity to kind of get out there and talk more about bisexuality through this character that people don't seem to be intimidated by. They seem to be a little bit more drawn to her.
Well, we certainly appreciate you volunteering your time because we know that you don't make any money on this.
No. No, and those Tiki Uplin dresses, they're not cheap, let me tell you.
Yeah. Well, the eyelashes can't be very cheap either. I love them.
You should come to D.C. We have tons of great thrift shops. You can get dresses really, really
I lived in D.C. for 4 years, and you're right. D.C. does have a lot of good thrift shops. I'll probably go down there to get some new Tiki dresses. Most of the Tiki Uplin clothes that she wears is from it's from an online store called the Betty Page Clothing, and that just changed its name to Tatiana. But it's sort of retro fun looks. She's got a very specific style. Susanna and I call it 1950s clothes on 1960s drugs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I wonder if it includes or doesn't include some of the other leather-based gear that Betty wore over her career.
Oh,
they do. They've got some of that at Tatiana, which used to be the Betty Page Clothing, but mostly it's not. It doesn't push the envelope that far.
It's those 50s right. Dresses that, like, I can see in black and white.
Right.
So let's talk about this year's show. When is it and who's scheduled?
So this year's Bi-licious is on December 5th and 6th, and that's a Friday and Saturday night. As of last year, Susanna started doing the show for two nights instead of one, and it's been just a terrific change because now it feels like so many more people can come out to see it. She's done it every year in Boston at Club Cafe, and this is no different. So Club Cafe is a queer dance club in Boston in the Back Bay. And so we're in, there's like a little back room. So once we have Bilicious and then the question and answer with the performers, then the doors open. But instead of the audience leaving, it's more like every queer man who's dancing outside the door comes barreling in, wondering what we're doing and trying to dance with us. It's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
That's kind of opening up spaces, too. Sometimes we don't feel as bisexuals in a group comfortable in some of the gay clubs. And to have those kind of spaces more open to us so that we feel welcome there is also a good thing.
It is. And to tell you the truth, at least my experience every year is the show ends and the doors open and a bunch of always this gaggle of like drunk queer men just sort of tumbling in, drinks in hand, and they're like, "What is this? What are you guys doing?" And we tell them, "Oh, this is Bilicious. It's a bisexual variety show." And they pause, and then they say, "Yeah, I know a bisexual." And then they say, "Hey, can we hang out?" they just want to know where the party's at, and they're excited that there's a whole room of bisexuals, and then they want to hang out. It's actually really fun.
That's cool. That's cool.
Yes.
A party is a party, right?
Yes. So you, John, you asked who's in the show this year. So
yes.
Susanna has sort of a cadre of performers that she looks to every year, and then she'll typically add one or two new faces. So this year we have Michael Monroe, who's done Bilicious several times. He is one of the best slam poets in Cambridge, Massachusetts, and that's saying a lot. Like, Cambridge has a history of the best slam poetry in the country, and he's absolutely incredible. So he's with us this year. We have Lori Wolfe, who, again, is a regular, has been doing Bilicious for years. She is a storyteller, and she's just amazing. I saw her, we just did a rehearsal the other day, and so I heard her stories this year for the first time, and it's the kind of thing where you just sort of catch your breath and then you're laughing. Oh, but then you're like, your hand is over your heart and you just can't believe what you're hearing. Like, she's just amazing. So she's going to be fantastic as usual. This year, in terms of new cast members, we have Nina Gonzalez, who's a stand-up comic. We haven't had a stand-up comic since the first Bilicious Boston with Anne Herendeen, who is fabulous and is also an author. Nina Gonzalez has been doing stand-up for, she said, 20 years. And you can tell. I mean, I have never seen her do a set, and so she was there at rehearsal. And the second she opened her mouth, you can tell when you see a stand-up who has been doing this and perfecting it for years and years. She's terrific. And we were laughing with her because this is her first Bilicious. And she said to us, you know, I have to go do this other show, and it's going to be really tough because she's new to Boston. She said, you know, this show, the audience, really, it's just not an audience that's attuned to what I do. And so I was able to say, Mimi, let me tell you about my first Bilicious. I'm like, these people were so excited to hear me, and I have no talent. So you're going to love this. This is going to make your day. Like, you could have the worst act ever, and they would love you. Luckily, Mimi has the best act ever. She's hysterical. She's done stand-up everywhere. So I can't wait to see how she and the audience interact. And then finally, we've got this really interesting performance. I want to describe it correctly. It's from a gentleman who is actually overseas, so he won't be there that night. But he's taken the video game Second Life, and he's made it into a sort of a bisexual artistic offering for the audience. And Susanna, our producer, helped him fine-tune it. And so it's really something we've never done before. And I'm sad that the artist himself won't be there. He can't fly into Boston. But it's going to be something really spectacular. So that's the show this year. I can't wait.
Sounds great.
Great. Yeah.
Every year I say, I feel bad for every bisexual who cannot be here. And also other people. Also monosexuals who can't be here. You know?
Yeah. I feel bad for them, too.
I feel bad for you, Lynette.
Feel bad for me.
I do feel bad for you. It's a fun show. It's interactive to the point where you've got this really important audience question session with the performers, and the performers open up. I mean, they're funny, but in their stories. I mean, I know the performers. Their stories are true. You know, when somebody will ask them something like, "Oh, you know what? I bet you guys had no problem coming out. You all seem so confident. You're so connected to the label bisexual, and you've had years of doing this." And the performers are able to say, "Hey, like, I'm a person too. You know, it's been hard for me. I've faced, you know, rejection from certain others, and I've faced a tough time dealing with this with my family, you know, and so it really adds this amazing humanity to the show at the end of it."
Mm-hmm. Wow.
One other part that I haven't told you all about, I wonder if you even know this, because I don't know if these videos are online. Susanna is, in addition to being a producer, she's a video artist, a critical part of the show every year is before each performer goes on to do their act, we see a video of them interviewing about their personal feelings about being bisexual and their experiences and their emotional feelings surrounding it and so forth. So you see Michael Monroe, the slam poet, talking about his experience as a bi man. You see Lori Wolfe tell us what it's like to be a bi trans woman and how she's dealt with that in her life and how people have responded to her. You're going to see, and I'm going to see for the first time, Mimi Gonzalez saying, you know, yeah, I'm somebody who everyone keeps calling a lesbian, but I'm bisexual and I'm open about that. And it's weird to have other people label me. And you're going to see all of that in a video before they come on. And that's one of the most exciting parts of the show as well.
That's great. That really make that contact with each other is fantastic.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, from D.C., I'm kind of jealous that you guys have so much capacity in Boston, especially with being able to do theater. We were talking about getting having Bi, Hung, and Fit come here, and just thinking about how much money we're going to have to raise to do it, just like, we don't know if we can pull it off. So it's like it's
intimidating. It's intimidating, yeah. And I try, you know, with the Tiggy Uplin column, one of the other ways that I want to make sure we have diversity is in geography. Last year, at last year's Bilicious, Tiggy Uplin's main theme as she introduced the show was bisexuals are everywhere. And she talks about the letters she got from, you know, all different corners of the earth. And I think it's hard to live in one of these cities that's not Boston, that's not Chicago, you know, that doesn't have this huge bi community and maybe a resource center and the backing of a lot of people. But D.C. has so much to offer. I know because I live there. You know, it has its own bisexual community, and it has its own special culture that it can share, not only with each other, but with other people across the country. I know that money is something to overcome, but keep in mind, we do the show on a shoestring. You know, and the BRC isn't exactly rolling in money either. You know, you got to start somewhere. Also keep in mind that a lot of folks, you know, it's not like the 50s. You don't live somewhere typically like your entire life with the same job and so forth. A lot of folks go from place to place. So, for example, Vidi Ramirez is a friend of mine who I served on the BRC board with. And she was just incredibly helpful, so smart. She has a career in nonprofits. She is currently in the Midwest now because her husband is attending school out there. So she's bringing her know-how over to the Midwest to try to develop a community there. But I can tell you that, you know, before Biddy lived in Boston, she lived in D.C. for a long time. And she was as active as she could be with the bi community in D.C. So, you know, people kind of move all over. And I don't want folks to
here it kind of come and goes because, I mean, we're such a nomadic city. You know, there's a core group of us who have been here forever. But, you know, it seemed in the past that especially leadership moves on to other cities, and especially the vibrant leadership who really has everything going for them gets jobs in other cities and leaves. I mean, that's one of the things in this group now. We're really trying to have a diverse leadership and to really make sure that not one person gets burned out, and that there's always people there doing stuff. So.
Yeah. It's the nature of not only organizing, but especially it seems to me in the bi community, you'll find one person in your area who's willing to do a lot, and then we just burn them out. So, I mean, all you can do is catch these people in D.C. while you can. You know, in my column, maybe two or three columns ago, somebody wrote to me from Africa. She wouldn't say what country she was from. And I wrote this long answer. I really should have truncated it, but I really shouldn't have gone on as long as I did. But I wrote this long answer, but I felt like it was important to say that it's not so terrible to live in maybe a more isolated area. Part of her question was, do you think I should stay here in rural whatever country she was from in Africa, or should I go move to the city? Now, I did feel like it would probably be better for her to move to the city, at least for a short time, but I also felt it was really important for me to talk at length about how living in the country as a bisexual isn't a death sentence. I think that's a very it's a pervasive myth to queer kids that they can't be in the country or you know they'll never thrive, and I just don't think that does any sort of service to anyone in the queer community. It's certainly DC isn't the country, but I think you know you can extrapolate and say just because you don't have you know 50 bisexuals living on your block like I do in Boston. It doesn't mean that you can't have a beautiful, vibrant community and a happy life.
The old gay ghetto thing that happens, you know, in the 70s and, well, you know, in the 80s, it all kind of got messed up. But, you know, YMCA is really about, like, leaving the country and coming to the city and being able to be gay in a big city. And we used to have this little turn, like kids that would, you know, like just come from the country into the city, into the community. We'd say that they came in on the first boat from West Virginia, which was kind of a joke in itself because there's no boats from West Virginia. But like,
yeah.
It wasn't always West Virginia, but it tended to be a lot.
Well,
and just, you know, kids that really did, you know, like, they really felt that they had to escape. And, you know, I think a lot of us, my generation especially, really felt that, you know, the only place to escape to was to the ghettos that were formed to protect us. And it's different now, you know, in my neighborhood, it's like, you know, lots of same sex families and lots of rainbow flags. And, it's a different world than it was 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, I think what would be great is if these people in the rural areas found each other and built communities there, because if there's one bisexual, you know, there's more of us. You know.
You got that right. Absolutely.
You know, I think that would have creating safe spaces where we actually already live with not only serves us, but it serves those that follow after us. So.
Absolutely.
But yeah. I mean, yeah. We have events that are in the Virginia suburbs because there's people like what we call the exurbs and even out farther that have, you know, like it's hard for them to get to D.C. But to do a happy hour in Virginia is the place that they can get to. And actually, going pretty far out in Virginia for some of these events. So, you know, there's got to be space for everybody. And
yeah, you know, it's funny. People have a certain view of Massachusetts. Western Mass is a lot more conservative than you'd think. We've got these five colleges there that are a liberal bastion and certainly very queer. The two women's colleges, Mount Holyoke and Smith, are very queer. But outside of that liberal oasis, Western Mass is it's farmland, and it's more conservative than you would think. We now have a bisexual brunch for Pride out in Western Mass for the last few years. And folks come down from Vermont. They come down from New Hampshire. They come from anywhere from mid-Mass all the way over to the westernmost point of Massachusetts. They will drive up. Of course, some are driving up from Connecticut. You know, like people will get in their cars. If they're, you know, suburban queer folks, they will get in their cars and they'll make the effort to make a connection. Somebody has to take it upon themselves to create that space.
That's, yes, exactly. And that's what we need to encourage is, if you can't find a group, go start one.
Yeah, and Tiggy says that a lot. And I get it. A lot of people just don't feel like they're the type of person to start a group. I just wrote to a bi guy who I think was about 50, and he was like, I want to meet other middle-aged bi guys. And not just for sex. I want to know them for friendship and maybe for romance. He's like, but I'm having a devil of a time. And I'm like, listen, you know, you might not think of yourself as an organizer, but you don't have to be an organizer to have a card game in your basement. Just get a deck of cards. You know, I'm like, here's a couple of places that you could advertise. Boom. There you go. I said this.
I think I remember that column.
Yeah, and that was one of the ones. I think I'm getting better now in the last couple of years about asking folks when I don't know the answer. You know, I've got a guy who's 50 who's like, how can I do this? And I'm like, you know, it's not okay for me to be like, well, let me tell you, buddy. I'm not a 50-year-old bi man. So, you know, I ask a couple of my friends, and they all have just the greatest ideas. That person who wrote in from Africa, I made sure to reach out to Spectra Speaks, who's this incredible blogger who splits her time between Boston and Abuja in Nigeria. Because I said to her, listen, you know, I tell this girl to get on Meetup. Maybe they don't even do Meetup in Nigeria. I have no idea. You know, you got to tell me. Some of the most fun Tiggy columns are the ones I do with other people. I did this sort of chat with Lorelei Erisis, who is this incredible trans woman in Boston who has her own advice column for the Rainbow Times. I said, let's you and I just do this. And she said, sure. She was totally game for it. And that was one of the most fun columns I did, because we got to answer this question that was about being bi and about being trans and what that meant, not only pragmatically, but also kind of in terms of bi theory and identity. And, you know, Lorelei and I were just sort of going back and forth about what we think. It was a lot like this podcast, only it was more of a transcript. And to me, I mean, that's a riot. That's tons of fun.
All right. Did we get everything we need to cover on that? I'd like to talk to Tiggy now, if you're ready.
I can arrange that. Shall I go get her?
Yeah, so if you have a few moments, can we just have Tiggy come on board with us?
I think that's fine. Let me go get her. Hang on a second.
Awesome.
Hello, I'm Tiggy Upland.
Hi, Tiggy. We're so happy to meet you.
Lynette.
Hi, how are you doing, Tiggy?
Lynette and John. John and Lynette. You are the sun sparkle in my pupil. And I love you both very much.
We love you too, Tiggy.
Yes. So keep going.
I'm very nervous. I don't talk about myself too much, but I feel very safe with you two, and I'm happy to tell you anything you would like to know.
Well, Tiggy, let's hear a little bit about your life. Where are you from? How did you find out you were bisexual?
Oh, well, okay, my life. I was born, I actually don't know exactly where I was born. I'm adopted, or I plan to mention in Bilicious. My adoptive parents found me in a hot air balloon basket in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. It was part of what would later become the Elephant Butte Regatta of hot air balloons, although I prefer to call it the Elephant Butt Regatta because my Nana called it that, and I always thought she was hilarious. So they found me there. So I don't know where I was born, but that's where I was found. I grew up in Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. I grew up with my parents and my grandmother, who I loved very much. She was quite the spitfire. I was homeschooled because we were in a rather remote area. And I later went on to St. John's College in Santa Fe. And then I became a saleswoman for my family business. We sold Upland's Magic Elixir, which, by the way, is delicious. And I do recommend that everybody try to get themselves some, even if you're not feeling sick. I was a sales lady. I traveled by train. That's how I got to know many hobos, who are my friends even today. But as I started doing that, I also started fixing the Upland's Magic Elixir website for my parents, because, of course, who else would do it? At the time, because I was traveling so much for work, selling the elixir at different festivals, I then started to write a little bit for Lonely Planet. And that's basically how I became a travel writer. My parents let me go and have my own career after a while. So now I'm a travel writer, and I'm an advice columnist, as I think you know. And mm-hmm. I also do a little bit of work at the hostel where I live in exchange for room and board. And that's it. Uh-huh. That's my life. And now you know. She's out. I'm out.
She's out.
As a human. Tell everyone.
I will. Yay, Tiggy.
Hooray for humans.
Do you ever get back to Truth or Consequences?
I do. I do go back to visit my parents. Sadly, my grandmother passed a long time ago, so I can only visit her in my mind. But I do go back to see my parents quite a bit. They don't come out to Boston too much. They would much prefer just to be in their own little neighborhood, which still is rather remote.
So, Tiggy, you are very wise for your age.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, and you have lovely hair. Is that a family trait, or?
So I don't know. I don't know about my genetics because I am adopted. But
oh, that's true.
It's when my mother found me in the hot air balloon basket. She says that I already had a little pink sheen of peach fuzz, and it's always been this color. I will say that when I started to go to synchronized swimming lessons as a child. That was the only thing they offered at the nearest YMCA, so I signed up for it. And I've always been an avid fan of synchronized swimming. One of the things I liked about it as a child was that I could put my bathing cap on my head and cover my hair so that the other children might like me and not think that I was different. But now I love my hair, and I hope everybody can see it.
Well, we love your hair, too.
Thank you very much. And, Lynette, you have purple hair.
Yes, I do.
It is lovely. Did it come out of your head that way?
I wish it had, but no. Sadly, I have to pay for it.
Nothing wrong with that.
It started out when I was ill last year. I wanted to cheer myself up because I love that poem. When I get old, I'll wear purple hats, that one.
Oh, yes.
And I thought, why not just go for the purple hair instead? So. And it stuck. Now it's kind of like a statement, if you know what I mean.
It is cheering me up as well.
What else can we ask Tiggy? Tiggy, you're going to be in a great show again this year as the MC.
I am going to be the MC of Bilicious, and Susanna is my friend, and she creates the show. So I'm very excited. I love to speak to the audience. Sometimes I walk out into the audience, and as they're asking questions of the performers, I pet their hair, or maybe I smell them a little bit. They're lovely. I'm a very tactile person, and I like to connect with them that way. Some of them don't like it. I run away from those people. It works out fine.
Yes, exactly. Well, thank you so much for being on, Tiggy. Like I said, we absolutely adore you, and hope to hear more from you. I hope you keep doing your column. We're going to miss the You might be a bisexual pieces, but maybe you can do a little bit about that again sometime.
Wait, I have another project coming up, somewhat similar in that it is artistic, and it is from the heart, Tiggy Upland. And so keep that in mind, because I hope to be putting that on my You Might Be a Bisexual Tumblr and Twitter so that everyone can see it.
We'll be waiting for it. Thanks, Tiggy.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tiggy.
Love you much.
We love you, too. Well, that was great, Susanna. I'm glad she had a chance to stop by.
Hey! I'm back.
Yeah, it was great. And anyone in the Boston area or can get to Boston should go to this show. It sounds like a lot of fun.
John, I will just let you know that one of my closest friends in the world lives in Tacoma Park, and she's coming up for the show. So it's not like you can't get up here, man. I mean, we could save a seat for you and everything. I'm just letting you know.
Oh.
I think I might have the same friends.
You should talk to that same friend.
That wouldn't be Lorraine Hutchins, would it?
No, I don't know if Lorraine's coming up for it. When I was on the BRC board, I sometimes hosted. We'd have like bisexual speakers and so forth. And so now I have the incredible honor of having a pullout couch that has been graced by the likes of Lorraine Hutchins, Amy Andre, who's a bisexual health researcher, Anne Herendeen, who, of course, is an author and a stand-up comic, and Sarah Young, who is an incredible bisexual activist who does a lot of work in the South. So Lorraine is one of the famous bisexuals who has graced my pullout couch, my purple velour pullout couch. I always like to brag about this. However, I don't know that she'll be coming up for Bilicious.
Yeah.
You have a purple velour pullout couch?
Oh, it's great.
I am so jealous.
Lynette, you have to be the next famous bisexual on the purple velour pullout couch. I won't accept no for an answer. We have to arrange this somehow.
She's gonna
sleep on our couch first.
You'll make
it. Yeah, we are working real hard to get up a travel fund for me to hit everything this year. So we're working on it.
Fantastic. Don't miss Boston. We need you here.
All right, sweetie. I'm gonna do my best. Anything else we want to talk about today?
All I can say is Bilicious is a fantastic show. If you are anywhere near Boston, you have to come see it December 5th and 6th in the evening at Club Cafe.
Awesome. And I'll have, like we said, we'll put all the links on the website. John, anything you want to put in or add today?
Oh, just it's been a great hour of hanging out with the two of you, or three of you, including Lynette.
Yeah, lots of fun. Remember, everybody, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are bisexual. And if you're looking for the answers, all you got to do is ask Tiggy.
Woo-hoo!
Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Thank you both.
And yeah, you can come back anytime you want.
All right, you two. My pullout couch is waiting for you.
You betcha.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
All right, that went really good.
Yeah, it was great.
That was fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, she's wonderful.
I love her. The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of BiNet USA or the Bicast crew.